Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. We are so glad you've joined us today, and Rick is going to share part one of a special message called Lessons from a Shrewd Money Manager. So let's get started.
If you have a Bible, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke 16. If you don't have your Bible with you, pull out the message notes, and all of the verses are there on the outline. This is an amazing parable that I'm about the lessons from the shrewd money manager. Now, a lot of people don't realize how much Jesus talked about money. Half of all of the parables of Jesus, 50% of all the parables Jesus told have to do with money and possessions. In fact, in the Bible, one out of every six verses in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels, are about money. One out of every six. In fact, Jesus talked more about money than he did either heaven or hell. Why? Because we think about money more than we think about heaven or hell. And we spend most of our lives dealing with this issue of how to get it, how to save it, how to spend it, how to invest it, how to keep accounting of it, how to share it, all the different things. Money has enormous influence on our lives. You know, Gallup has done many, many polls that show the number one cause of divorce, is financial tension. 56% of all divorces come because of money problems. But regardless of that, God wants us to learn even in tough, difficult times. And the Bible tells us that money management is a test from God. Now, the parable we're going to look at today that Jesus tells in Luke 16 is actually one of the most misunderstood sections of Scripture in the Bible. Because when you read it initially, it looks like Jesus is complimenting or commending a crook. There is a dishonest manager, money manager in this story, and he actually praises the guy. He uses a clever crook as an illustration of wise money management. Now, you need to understand who Jesus is talking to when he tells this story. Jesus told this story not to the general public, but he told it to the Pharisees. Now, who are the Pharisees? Well, remember, they're the religious leaders of the day. They're self-righteous, they're judgmental, they're legalistic, and the Bible says they love money. They were obsessed with money. In fact, on the screen, in this chapter, in verse 14, Luke 16, 14, it says, the Pharisees made fun of Jesus because they dearly loved their money. And Jesus loved to shock pious people, self-righteous, legalistic, religious people. He loved to shock them. So he tells a story, and he makes the hero of a story a crook. A crook. Now, let's look at the story. It's there on your outline, Luke chapter 16. Jesus told his disciples, there once was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his master's possession. Now notice, he's not wasting his own money, he's wasting his master's possessions. It's not really his money. So the owner calls him in and asked, what's this I hear about you? He says, you know, I want you to, are you cheating me? Or I want you to give an account of what you've done with my money, because your time as my manager is ending. Now, the guy knows he's going to lose his job. So the manager says to himself, what am I going to do now? I'm losing my job as a manager, but I'm not strong enough to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. So he says this, I know what I'll do, and he hatches this plan. I know what I'll do, so I'll have friends to take care of me when I lose my job. So he calls in each one of his master's debtors, the guys who owe his boss money. And he asks the first guy, how much do you owe my master? And the guy says, 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager said, well, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. In other words, we're going to just write off half of it, okay? And we're going to tell the boss about this, but instead of you owing 800, you're only going to owe 400 now. Just write it off. And then the manager found another debtor, and he asked, how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. The manager said, okay, you change your bill to say that you only owe 800. Now, what's going on here? The reason for this story is told in the next verse, verse 8. Now, when the master heard what the dishonest manager had done, because what he'd done, he hadn't told his master, he just did it. He still commended his shrewdness. Circle that. He commended his shrewdness. For the people of this world are more shrewd in handling their affairs than are the people who belong to the light. Jesus says, saying, sometimes unbelievers are far more equipped and wise in the way they handle their wealth than believers do. Now, what's going on here? Well, I want you to notice a couple things. First, Jesus is not praising this man's dishonesty. What he did was clearly wrong. He's cheating his boss by discounting the debts. But he did praise his shrewdness. Now, what is shrewdness? Well, most of us, when we hear that word, a guy shrewd, we think he's a manipulator, he's a crook, he's a con man, he's going to be smarter than me, and so he's going to weasel me out of some money that's rightly owed me. But that's not really what the word shrewd means. If you look the word shrewd up in a dictionary, it means three things. It means keen awareness, it means astute intelligence, and it means clever resourcefulness. You need shrewdness. You need to know what the problem is in your finances. And you've got keen awareness of that. What's really the problem? And you need to pinpoint it. And second, you need astute intelligence where you go, I know what I need to do. And you need to know the steps to take out. And then third, you need clever, resourcefulness. You need to know how to get out of the mess that you're in right now. What I want to do with you this weekend is I want to teach you biblical shrewdness, scriptural shrewdness, how to manage your money so you're not constantly trying to make ends meet and always under tension and always under pressure. Now, again, Jesus isn't commending this guy's dishonesty, but you can appreciate something in somebody without admiring everything that they do. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, for instance, there are some actors out there who live really immoral lives, but they're still good actors. And you can appreciate the fact that they're a good actor. There are musicians out there who are totally living, drug-infested lives and just total lies for self-centeredness, but they still make good music. And you can appreciate the good music. When I go to a doctor, if I've got a brain tumor, I don't go and ask the doctor, are you an atheist? Or are you Muslim or Jewish or Christian or Buddhist or Baptist or whatever? I want to know, have you done this before? Okay? So, it doesn't matter what their faith is. At that point, you're looking for their skill. Does that make sense? And so you can learn even from a crook if you don't copy his dishonesty, but you copy the right things that he did. Now, in this story that Jesus tells us, we have eight attitudes toward money. Let's get right into it. The first thing we learn from this story of the shrewd manager is that what I think I own is really on loan. What I think I own is really on loan. You see, I don't really own anything. And by the way, neither do you. It all belongs to God. It was God's from the beginning. It'll be God's at the end. You didn't bring anything into this world. You're not taking anything out of this world. God just loans it to you for about 80 years. It's all God's. And God loaned it to somebody else in the previous generation, and he's going to loan it to somebody else in the next generation after you, and you get to use it for a short period of time. But everything you have in your life, including your own heartbeat, is on loan from God. You would have nothing without God. It's all his, and he's giving it to you. So really, we have the role of being a manager. We are to manage what God has given us. And the Bible says that everything you have is a gift from God, and you're to manage it wisely. God gave you your health. You're to manage your health wisely. God gave you your freedom. You're to manage your freedom wisely. God gave you your mind. You are to manage your mind wisely. He gave you your time. You're to manage your time wisely. He gave you your talents. You are to manage them wisely. He gave you your money. You are to manage it wisely. What I think I own is really on loan. Now, the word for management in the Bible is the old English word stewardship. Stewardship is just the old word for management. Every time you see the word steward in the Bible, It means manager. That's what it means. A steward is a manager, and stewardship is management. And the Bible says that we are to be good stewards of everything God has given us. Now, that may not seem like a big deal, but it certainly changes the way I deal with money when I realize it's not really mine. It's just on loan to me, and God is watching how I manage it. You see, if I think it's all my money and I want to blow it, I say, you know, I know this is a frivolous, trivial thing to blow it on, but I'm going to spend this money on this. And I just waste it. Well, I say, so what? It's my money. If I want to waste it, I waste it. But when I realize it's really God's money I'm wasting, that puts it in a different perspective. It puts it in a different perspective because the second thing we learn from this story is that one day I'll give an account to God. You need to write that down. One day, I will give an account to God. One day, God is going to do an audit on your life. He's going to do a life audit. You'll stand before God when you die, and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the talent I gave you? What did you do with the money I allowed you to have? What did you do with your freedom, with your relationships, with your network, with your intelligence? What did you do with what you were given? And one day, I'm going to have to give an account to God on how well I managed what he allowed me to manage for 80 or 100 years. The Bible in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9 says this on the screen. Young man, it's wonderful to be young. How many of you agree with that part? Yeah. Young man, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. In other words, live it up. But remember that you will give an account to God for everything you do. There's a little but there. Go ahead and enjoy life. But remember, one day you're going to give an account to God for everything you do. You know, they used to say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's not true anymore. What happens in Vegas stays on YouTube. And the truth is, all bad behavior is permanently chronicled on the internet now. You can't hide bad behavior. Now, it's not just that other people see your bad behavior. God sees it. And the Bible says one day you're going to give an account for how you used your time, your money, your relationships, everything that you've got. The Bible says in Romans 14, 12, yes, each of us will have to give a personal account to God. Now, that's part of what this story is about. Because in verse 2, the owner comes to the manager and says this, I want you to give an account of what you've done with my money. God's going to say that to you one day. I want you to give an account of what you've done with my money. Because your time as my manager is ending. And one day, your time as a manager on this planet is going to end. And you're going to stand before God, and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? Now, this guy knows he's losing his job. He knows, the jig's up. I'm going to be out on the streets. So he hatches a pretty creative plan, a clever scheme. And it's dishonest, but at least he's got a plan. And he brings in the masters, his boss's debtors, people owe him money. And he says, the first guy, how much do you owe? And he tells him 800, barrels. And he goes, okay, 50% discount. Okay, you now only own 400. Let's don't tell a boss, but I'm just going to cut you some slack, write $400. So we'll just pretend like you only owe 400 barrels, not 800. And the second guy, he says, how much do you owe? He says, 1,000 bushels of wheat. He says, okay, 20% discount for you. Let's make it 800. Now, what he's doing is totally unscrupulous because the boss hadn't told him he could do this. But what he's doing is he's making friends for a long-term relationship. He's saying, you know, I'm going to lose my job, and if I have these friends around me who owe me one, then they're going to probably think kindly on me when I'm out of work. Maybe they'll give me a job. Maybe they'll take me into their home. Maybe they'll loan me a little money. And at least I'm building these relationships as a safety net for when I'm out on my own. Now, again, Jesus is not commending this guy's dishonesty, because what he did was clearly wrong. But he did do three things right. And these are the three things that you need to do with your money when knowing that one day God's going to hold you accountable for what you did with what you were given. To manage my money, the third thing you need to write down is to manage my money wisely, I must do these three things. Number one, I must look ahead. I must look ahead. And in verse 3, the first thing this money manager does is he goes, okay, what am I going to do now? Now, he's asking this question before he gets fired. He hasn't gone to the meeting yet. He hasn't received the pink slip. He's already thinking ahead. My master's asked me to come in and give an account. He's not going to like what he hears, so he's going to likely fire me. Before he's even fired, he is thinking ahead. That's a good thing. The Bible says this on the screen, Proverbs 14. Read it with me, verse 8. The wise man looks ahead. The fool attempts to fool himself and won't face the facts. He said it's wise to look ahead in your finances. It's foolish to just ignore it and to try to just live for today and you get into all kinds of problems. You see, the number one reason people are in debt is short-term thinking. They're not thinking about next year. They're not thinking about 5 years. They're not even thinking about in 5 months. They're living for today. The number one cause of debt is the inability to delay gratification. I got to have it, and I got to have it now. And I want it now even though I can't afford it, so I will charge it. I will buy a house I can't afford. I will buy a TV I can't afford. I will buy a vacation I can't afford. I want it because I want it now. It's short-term thinking. It's the opposite of planning ahead. And the Bible says not planning ahead is foolish. Because when you don't plan ahead, you spend money you don't have. And one of the principles of life is real simple. You don't spend what you don't have. Now, this guy, he knows he's losing his job, and he looks ahead. He says, what am I going to do? I haven't got fired yet, but I better think ahead. You need to think ahead. And thinking ahead means you don't spend what you don't have. Now, look at that verse again on your outline, Proverbs 14:8. The wise man looks ahead. The fool attempts to fool himself and won't what? Face facts. Circle that on your outline. Won't face facts. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean? I won't face facts. Some of you are not facing the facts about your financial situation. What is it you're pretending is not a problem? And you keep ignoring it and you keep saying, well, it'll get better, but it's not. Some of you bought a house you cannot afford. You need to face the fact. And you need to sell the house and buy a smaller one. Because you're never going to get out of debt until you do that. You overbought a house that you cannot afford. Some of you are driving a car. You need to turn in and get a cheaper car. That's facing the facts. And you need to stop pretending it's not a problem. You need to turn the car in and get a cheaper car. You know, I haven't had a car payment in 10 years. Why? Because I drive a 10-year-old Ford. And I paid cash for it 10 years ago. Now, it still gets me to the same places just as fast as if I had a Rolls or a Bentley. Now, if my ego depends that my car is not simply a means of transportation, but it's for ego status, well, then I need an expensive car. But since my car is not for ego, my car is for travel, a 10-year-old Ford does fine, just thank you very much. And I don't need to have 10 years of car payments. Wouldn't you have liked to have gone 10 years without car payments? Well, it's your choice. I mean, this watch, I bought this watch at Walmart. It keeps just as good times as a Rolex. A Rolex doesn't make it go faster or slower. In fact, I like my watch better than Rolex because if I lost it, I'd just go buy another one at Walmart. And so when I have my 10-year-old Ford and I pull into Albertsons and somebody dings my card, I go, who cares? It's 10 years old. Okay? I'm not worried about it. You know, my stress level is dramatically down. And so you can save enormous money by not wearing socks. You may have noticed this lately, I'm saving money by not getting a haircut. And so if you don't have to have clothes with a label that says purpose driven, and you can just buy the same shirt and it doesn't say needless markup on it, then you save a whole lot of money. But you have to look ahead.
Wow, what a great message from Pastor Rick today. And I have some exciting news to share with you. For just a limited time, you can get the Daily Hope Devotional, 365 Days of Purpose, Peace, and Promise, in a beautiful special leather look gift edition. This stunning keepsake volume brings together 365 of Pastor Rick Warren's most loved devotionals, each designed to help you start your day with clarity, strength, and hope. Pastor Rick often says the most important decision you'll make each day is what you focus on, and this devotional will help you center your heart on God. Every day, you'll find a Bible verse to ground you in God's Word and a short teaching to help you understand God's truth. So, whether you're seeking deeper peace, stronger faith, or a renewed sense of direction, this book provides a trusted framework to grow spiritually one day at a time. And because this leather look edition makes such a meaningful and lasting gift, it's also a powerful way to share God's love with the people you care about most. Be sure to request your copy today when you give a gift to help Daily Hope bring the Word of God to people all around the world. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.